Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Untucked Life podcast, where we care a lot more about a lot less. Today I thought we would do something different. I wanted to actually pick up a book that I've recommended to several people, and that is Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And I thought it might be cool to share some of the passages with you and just talk about them and see where that goes. So stay tuned for some readings from Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. So I open my book and I'm on book 6. I'm reading the New Translation with Introduction by George Hayes version. I'll leave a link in the description if anybody wants to see the exact copy. And these are broken down, like each book is like a different arrangement of journal entries, I guess would probably be the best way to describe it, since this wasn't written for public consumption. This is more like his personal journal. So I just happen to be or have a bookmarker in book 6. No rhyme or reason there, except that's where I opened it. So that's where we're going to start. 1. Nature is pliable, obedient, and the logos that governs it has no reason to do evil. It knows no evil, does none, and causes harm to nothing. It dictates all beginnings and all endings. And if you're not familiar with the term logos, that is basically from a Greek philosophical term. It's kind of like the reason of like the way things are, almost. So the exact definition, let me look that up real quick, is the divine reason implicit in the cosmos, ordering it and giving it form and meaning. So maybe that helps. 2. Just that you do the right thing. The rest doesn't matter. Cold or warm, tired or well rested, despised or honored, dying or busy with other assignments, because dying too is one of our assignments in life. There as well to do what needs doing. I really like that. To do what needs doing. It's pretty simple, but I think that oftentimes we get wrapped up in whether it's lists or creating busy work for ourselves, and we just forget that we need to do what needs to be done. 3. Look inward. Don't let the true nature or value of anything elude you. 4. Before long, all existing things will be transformed to rise like smoke, assuming all things become one, or be dispersed in fragments. 5. The Logos knows where it stands and what it has to do and what it has to work with. That's an interesting one, because I think oftentimes we maybe get wrapped up too much in trying to make sense of things that don't make sense. And oftentimes we just need to either let things be, give them time, and not try to force them. 6. The best revenge is not to be like that. Let's repeat that one. The best revenge is not to be like that. 7. To move from one unselfish action to another with God in mind. Only there, delight and stillness. I like that. I like the mention of the unselfish action. That's a good one. 8. The mind is that which is roused and directed by itself. It makes of itself what it chooses. It makes what it chooses of its own experience. That's super interesting. Let's read that one again. The mind is that which is roused and directed by itself. It makes of itself what it chooses. It makes what it chooses of its own experience. I think that that speaks directly to something I've talked about before, and that is really either your mindset or kind of the stories in which you tell yourself about your current situation. You take two people from totally different cultures or even different times and put them in a similar situation, and they'll take two totally different meanings from it because they're only able to make sense of the things that either they know or that they've experienced. So it's just an interesting reminder, considering this was written 2,000 years ago. 9. Everything is brought about by nature, not by anything beyond it or within it or apart from it. 10. Mixture, interaction, dispersal, unity, order, design. Suppose. Why would I want to live in disorder and confusion? Why should I care about anything except the eventual dust to dust? And why would I feel any anxiety? Dispersal is certain, whatever I do. Or suppose, reverence, serenity, faith in the power responsible. That's pretty interesting. I think this kind of goes back to the theme of memento mori, which is basically like the reminder that you're gonna die. And if you keep that kind of in top of your mind, it really puts a lot of the other things that we stress or worry about, kind of makes them insignificant, and kind of helps you reframe anything you got going on. Because really, does it matter that much? Because regardless of what you do, you're gonna die, and the people around you are going to die. Not to be morbid, but just as a very blunt reminder of your own mortality, and just to use that to really consider how you're spending your time. 11. When jarred, unavoidably, by circumstances, revert at once to yourself and don't lose the rhythm more than you can help. You'll have a better grasp of the harmony if you keep on going back to it. I think what he's saying right here is, if something happens, you're caught off guard, maybe you get upset or surprised, something doesn't go your way, to basically kind of stop and kind of look inward, which is something that you hear a lot of people talk about when it comes to mindfulness or meditation, is basically separating kind of yourself from your thoughts and really taking some time to not react, but to respond. So I like that one. 12. If you had a stepmother and a real mother, you would pay respects to your stepmother, yes, but it's your real mother you'd go home to. The court and philosophy. Keep returning to it, to rest in its embrace. It's all that makes the court and you endurable. That one. I think maybe what he's trying to get across is kind of don't lose sight of, for lack of a better analogy, first principles. But I'm not sure on that one. 13. Like seeing roasted meat and other dishes in front of you and suddenly realizing this is a dead fish, a dead bird, a dead pig, or that this noble vintage is grape juice and the purple robes are sheep's wool dyed with shellfish blood, or making love, something rubbing against your penis, a brief seizure, and a little cloudy liquid. Perceptions like that, latching onto things and piercing through them, so we see what they really are. That's what we need to do all the time. all through our lives when things lay claim to our trust, to lay them bare and see how pointless they are, to strip away the legend that encrusts them. Pride is a master of deception. When you think you're occupied in the weightiest business, that's when he has you in his spell. Let's reread that last sentence. Pride is a master of deception. When you think you're occupied in the weightiest business, that's when he has you in his spell. I like that one because it's true. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the noise, right? So to speak. But if you do kind of peel things back to more like the atomic level, it's interesting how unimpressive some of these things are that we get so wrapped up about. Great example there with clothes. Now, granted, this is back in the day where, you know, they didn't have Jordans or Under Armour or any of that, but still the same, right? Even the nicest of clothes are still literally pulled off the backs of animals and dyed with shellfish blood. So is that really worth, you know, getting too bent out of shape of, or too getting too involved in? It's very interesting. So that was book 6, 1-13, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And again, just trying something different out. Wanted to share this message, as this book is something that I've recommended to several people. There's a lot of timeless knowledge in here. And it's interesting to think that the most powerful man really in the world at that time, I think he was ruler or emperor of Rome, like 160, 180 AD. And here he is, you know, at night, or maybe in the morning, I have no idea when he wrote these things, writing himself little notes to basically check himself and help him stay the course. I mean, just imagine the type of business that he was involved in. And here he is writing something that says that pride is a master of deception. How easy would it be for you to be prideful if you were the emperor of, at that time, the greatest culture or, you know, civilization in the world? So to see that written by someone of great power and nobility is just pretty humbling, and I think can go a long way in, you know, just applying it in everyday life, you know, for me or for you or for anyone, really. All right, and that wraps up another episode of The Untucked Life, where we care a lot more about a lot less. And again, this episode was a little bit different. We read some passages from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. I'll leave a link in the description for those of you interested. And I just wanted to try something out. Try something a little bit different. Meditations is a book that I really like. It really helped me kind of grasp the whole approach to Stoic philosophy, and really just how timeless some of these issues are that I know I deal with today, a lot of people deal with. Just like Marcus was talking about right at the end before we ended, about pride is a master of deception. Like 2,000 years, and that is still definitely an issue. So hopefully you liked this episode. If you did, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, sharing this with a friend. It's the easiest way for us to expand our reach and continue to spread ideas. So until next time, see ya.